Hello? Hello? Okay, much better. Hey, how are you? How's it going? My name is Sova, and this is a very special Mother's Day episode. I have a special guest coming in later. Here's a hint. It's my mother. Okay, so anyway, we're going to be talking about news, some of the most important, or some of the most interesting news that I found interesting this week, and we're going to be talking about some movie reviews. The Thor movie review, Jumping the Broom movie review, and a Something Borrowed movie review. And then after that, we're going to have a discussion with my mom about talking in a theater. Is it acceptable? Is it not? And then, that's pretty much it. So, some of the news today is that Osama bin Laden was killed a week ago today. So, we can celebrate that. I'm proud to be an American. Unless Al-Qaeda is listening, then no, I'm not. I'm not proud. Well, Osama bin Laden was killed last week, which pushed the production further for Kathryn Bigelow's new film. She directed Point Break and The Hurt Locker. Pushed her production of the film Kill Osama, which is about a team of Navy SEALs going in to kill Osama bin Laden, but they fail, and that's the end of the movie. And with this new event that occurred last week, it pushes the event, her production in faster, so it's getting greenlit. It got greenlit, and they're picking out actors fast and faster and faster, and they're changing the ending from fiction to actually real life. So it'll be interesting to see Kathryn Bigelow's take on Osama bin Laden's death. And I'm surprised that it took an actual event like this to actually push that movie further, which is interesting. Okay, next piece of news is that Universal, the studio behind the Dark Tower series, they were planning to do 3 movies and 2 TV series based on the 7 books that Stephen King wrote. Or based on just 7 books Stephen King wrote. And it looks as if they're going to delay the production or possibly even cancel it, due to the fact that the funds for the film in this series are through the roof. They're trying to find a studio to co-finance the film, or possibly even pass the film to another studio, which begs the question: do studios believe that that original films, or films based on books, or films that people don't know about completely, do studios actually believe that they can work? Or do studios think that they do work but they don't have the money for it? Okay, you know, let me rephrase that question. Avatar was a huge investment because everyone knew that James Cameron was going to come out with a new movie, but not everyone knew completely about the project itself. Now, Avatar 2 comes out in 2 to 3 years. Now, everyone now knows about Avatar because of the big thing that is going to happen. Does the studio have more faith in the movie because it's a sequel or a remake of something that has been successful before? Or do they bend at the knees a little bit because of a project that only a certain amount, only a demographic knows about? Honestly, I would like to see this movie come about and the series come about, because I'm actually interested in The Dark Tower more now that it's going into production than before when it was a book or a series of books. Okay, moving on. Henry Joost and Ariel Schulman made it big last year during the summer with their film Catfish, which is a documentary or a mockumentary, which is being debated even today as to whether or not that film is real, where I think it's Ariel Schulman falls in love with a woman online, but she's not what she seems. And they actually have been hired to actually direct Paranormal Activity 3, which is an interesting choice. And it does make you question as to whether or not Catfish was real or not. It does actually put it up there as like that probably wasn't real. However, if Catfish was real, bringing that sense of realism into Paranormal Activity would help, not help boost Paranormal Activity sales, but it could actually make a ton more money than Paranormal Activity 1 and 2. Even though I did like 1 and 2, I wonder how 3 might be with these guys who directed one film, and it was possibly even by accident. And lastly, the last piece of news I have is that Adam Cozad and Craig Brewer are competing to both write a Tarzan film that Warner Brothers is going to produce. Though the interesting part is that both of them are going to be writing a separate movie script, each of them, and Warner Brothers will pick the best script to be chosen into a Tarzan film. Now, Cozad actually wrote a Jack Ryan film, but was pushed over or was replaced with David Koepp, and Craig Brewer wrote and directed Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan. So, Warner Brothers said that the winner, or the best script of the two, is going to be produced as a movie, and then the runner-up is actually going to be produced as a sequel to Tarzan, which is it's weird piece of news, because if they're both doing this, I don't know if they're doing the same type of Tarzan movie, like an origin story. I don't know how the runner-up would be played as a sequel. So it's kind of interesting that Warner Brothers is actually doing that. Okay, now I did see Thor on Saturday, so. And I also seen Jumping the Broom and Something Borrowed, the wide releases that also came out Saturday. And I actually will be reviewing them. And here is my review on Something Borrowed. This movie is marketed incorrectly. Warner Brothers marketed this film as a comedy in vain of Valentine's Day, and he's just not that into you. But it's more dramatic with comedic reliefs than a comedy with dramatic elements. Jennifer Goodwin is best friends with Kate Hudson and good friends with her fiancé, Colin Egglesfield. Then Goodwin and Egglesfield have an affair that explodes into something more, and they try to keep their relationship secret. Jennifer Goodwin is not a very strong character, and Hudson plays a character who is much in love with herself than her fiancé. John Krasinski is the comic relief, but doesn't provide too much laughs. The ending is not a happy ending you were probably expecting, and neither was I. The talented Goodwin, Hudson, and John Krasinski is wasted on this film, actually. This is the type of movie that you would actually see in the bargain bin at your local Best Buy. I do give it a 1 out of 5 stars. If you do actually watch this film, it's actually a chick flick. More chicks will actually like it more than guys. And some of the females that came out of that movie were a bit disappointed. It's a messed up ending, in my opinion. But you can go see that one at your own risk, or you can actually wait and rent it out on DVD. Okay, Jumping the Broom. I can't believe it. Another Tyler Perry movie for me to review in less than a month of his last film. Oh my gosh. Oh wait, I'm sorry. It's not. Jumping the Broom is just like a Tyler Perry movie with a primarily black cast with a wedding thrown in and mad black women. One thing though, this is not a Tyler Perry film. This is actually watchable and a bit interesting. And it doesn't have Madea, so you got that. But that's not to say that there isn't an annoying black character. The film is about a couple, Laz Alonso and Paula Patton, who have vowed not to have sex until after marriage. Are 1 weekend away from actually becoming hitched, and Patton and her family has yet to meet the groom's family. Then hilarity ensues, or quite not. The majority of these jokes are drier than sand deserts, and the acting is on par of a UPN sitcom. Not racist. Even Angela Bassett is there to try to save the film, but it doesn't actually work. I did enjoy this film, and it's actually a guilty pleasure that women were going to watch and cry along with. There are scenes that try to sink you in, but it doesn't completely fulfill its job, fulfill its duties of sinking you in. It is predictable, but you can actually appreciate some of the some of the dialogue and or some of the situations that occur in the film. So I do give it a 2.5 out of 5 stars. Now, Thor, I wasn't actually familiar with Norse mythologies, nor was ever familiar with the Marvel comic source material. I know of Thor and his hammer, the Mjolnir, something like that. I'm not too sure. His father Odin, his brother Loki, and his realm Asgard. However, I'm glad I didn't know the source material, like I knew Watchmen source material, because it was such a huge letdown and disappointment with my initial viewing of that film. The movie opens up with Natalie Portman, Stellan Skarsgård, and Kat Dennings trying to discover a wormhole of sorts. They encounter a wormhole, or Einstein's Bridge, and they run into Thor, then a flashback of how he got to Earth lasts for about a half hour, or 45 minutes. The scenes on Asgard and Jotunheim are much different in comparison to the scenes on Earth. Kat Dennings is irritating with her quips about iPods and tasers. Also, some of the fight sequences are pretty corny and are not well choreographed, such as the Thor fighting the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents near the middle of the movie, and as well as the fight between the Destroyer and the Warriors 3 and Sif, played by Ray Stevenson, Joshua Dallas, Tadnabu Asanu, and Jamie Alexander. Bit corny. It felt a bit cheap. Some of the fighting on Earth was not very exciting. It was, I wouldn't say generic, because it was actually lower than generic. Kenneth Branagh is a great choice to actually direct this film, but only the dialogue-heavy scenes. After all, he is a Shakespeare expert. Thor did have some exciting moments, but most other scenes were just a huge letdown. Tom Hiddleston does bring Loki to life with his performance, and Chris Hemsworth owns the role of Thor. Lastly, Idris Elba and Anthony Hopkins are equally great as Heimdall and Odin, respectively. I did go into the theater skeptical that I wouldn't like this film, and I came out of it a little bit happier that I actually enjoyed it more than I actually would. Give it 3 out of 5 stars. Okay, now I gave you my reviews for Thor and Something Borrowed and Gem of the Broom. Now, when I was watching these movies, there were people behind me, people next to me, and people throughout the theater talking. So today's discussion, alongside my mother for the special Mother's Day episode, we're going to be talking about talking in a movie theater. Is it appropriate? How do you feel about it? Okay, let's start. Mom Silva, how do you feel about people talking during a movie?
It's annoying. It's disturbing. And I can't stand it.
Does it take away from the experience of watching the movie?
Sometimes.
So, you know how I feel about it? It also depends for me. I mean, if it's like an old person saying, this happened while you were away, or this happened, or something, then it's okay. But if you have people in the back who are constantly talking during the entire movie, commenting on any little thing that comes up, like, oh yeah, I used to drive a Subaru, you see that hammer? If I was him, I could lift that hammer. Like, it was just like that throughout the entire Thor movie, and it was completely annoying. But when I went to Something Borrowed, there was two old people talking, and I guess it suited because I wasn't enjoying the movie as much, and it was cute, I guess. So how would you handle a situation where someone's talking excessively behind you or in front of you?
Well, during the movie of Thor, we had a lady who had came from the concession stand and she was talking so loud and telling her husband that they get free popcorn. They get free refills on their popcorn. Very annoying. Then for her to sit next to him, she could have whispered that to him. That was annoying. I had to say something. I know. I embarrassed my son, but it's okay.
Well, how did you handle that situation?
I told her, okay, you get free popcorn, have a seat.
Okay. What about during something borrowed, somebody was talking, the old people next to you were talking?
Oh, they were cute. They were cute little old ladies. They were talking about the outfits and the dresses and the situation. You know, the whole scenario thing. I found it cute.
Oh, my God. That man is so cute. It was so funny. Does it bother you when people don't silence their cell phones?
Yes. That's very annoying. Like, I think that's disrespectful.
You're sitting in a movie and somebody's phone is ringing. Is it rude for them to answer their cell phone, or is it rude for them to text back?
No, it's rude. Yeah, it's rude. They what they need to do is shut their phone off, put it on silent or on vibrate. Don't answer your phones. You're in the movie theater. Everybody wants to watch the movie. That's what the movie theater's for, to watch a movie, not to hear somebody's conversation.
Okay, now, what about when you forget to silence your cell phone?
Then at the moment, shut it off. As soon as it goes off, shut it off.
Okay, some people find it annoying to actually talk before the previews. Do you think that's being taken too seriously? That they're taking their movie-going experience a little too seriously? Like, when they have on the screen where they have, like, the questions like, this is an anagram. Jumble these words around. Like, what is it? And then, like, you know, before the previews come up.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think we're all entitled to have a little fun before the movie begins. I guess let it all out before the movie starts, so they don't have to talk.
Because I went to Green Hornet. I think it was. Yeah, I think it was Green Hornet. And there was kids in the back, and me and my friends are talking, and they constantly are telling us to shh. The movie's gonna start. And it was still on the screens where it was, oh, jumble this around. What's the name of this movie? And this is what so-and-so did before they went to acting. And that annoyed me because they were also talking during the movie, which didn't make sense at all. Now, concession stands, they sell candy in the box. They sell popcorn. They sell hot dogs. They also sell candy that's in that box that's in plastic, and that plastic is so noisy. Is it annoying to hear someone open up the candy wrapper?
No. Everybody's entitled to eat.
So it's not annoying?
No.
You don't think it's also disruptive?
No, because I do it too. I'm being a hypocrite.
Yeah. You know, I find it annoying. I find myself doing it annoying, but I do it on purpose sometimes. Oh, yeah, that's me. Should babies be allowed to be in a movie theater?
Yeah, they're human too.
But they're crying. Some of them are crying excessively.
Then you know, as a parent, your job is to take them out, you know, and try to calm them down. But they're, you know, I don't think they should be banned from the movie theater. I think they should be a little courteous to the fact that, you know, everybody wants to watch the movie, then baby's crying. See, I'm for it because I'm a mother. And mm-hmm. I used to take you when you were a baby. Mm-hmm. Though you didn't cry like that because you loved movies since you were in the womb. But not everybody's the same.
Like, I've been to a movie theater before where there was a man who was in the theater, and he was trying to watch this film. I don't remember the film. It was bad too. It wasn't a great movie. It was a horrible movie, and there was a baby in the back of the theater crying. And the guy just comes out and says, can you shut that baby up?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. And we all turned around and says, you shut up.
Yeah, do you think, of course, your opinion is that he went too far.
But, yeah, he did.
Do you think, at his point of view, do you think that he went far?
Yeah, he went too far.
Through his point of view?
No, he went too far. I mean, she was trying to, you know, shut the baby. You can't help it. You don't have the baby on timer. Mm-hmm. So if a baby cries, it's either he's hungry, he's tired, or it's too loud, you know, and she was trying to calm the baby down, and she did take the baby out. I guess the baby got quiet, and when they came back, the baby was quiet for a while and started crying again. It's, you know, it's a baby. You know, I mean, I know some of us are, you know, focused on the movie, but if you're really into the movie, you wouldn't be focusing on the child. That's how I see it.
Okay, now there have been instances where people have been stabbed, people have even been killed in a theater because of talking. Like, there was an incident, I think, during Avatar or Shutter Island, where there was a woman who was talking during the movie, and a man told her, "Can you please be quiet?" She left the theater, came back with two people, and they stabbed them in the theater. That's too excessive, of course. That's way too excessive. How should a situation be handled where you can tell someone politely to be quiet?
Just tell them, "Excuse me, can you please be quiet?" And the person doesn't be quiet. You don't go out and get somebody to stab them, but you'll get one of the employees to come in and tell this gentleman or this woman to be quiet.
So,
sometimes things are just best to be left not said, because you nowadays you can't even go to the movies and be safe anymore. So you just got to learn how to be quiet and deal with it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good answer. But does it also depend on the movie you're watching?
No, it's all in general. Because even if the movie's awesome and you're watching and you're really into it and the person's talking, yeah, it's annoying. But there are times it's just best to not say nothing. Just look at each other and just shrug like we did during the Thor movie. When the three guys that were sitting behind us was yapping away. I know it was very annoying, but we dealt with it. We dealt with it and we watched the movie and the movie was good.
Well, maybe to you, it wasn't that great.
I didn't say great. I said it was good. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay, yeah, same thing like me.
Okay, so it was good.
Okay, yeah, your mother.
Yeah, father too.
Yeah,
him too. Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Okay, but does talking during a movie annoy you, depending on the movie that you're watching? Like, let's say you're
in general, even if the movie's lousy and if the movie's great, yeah, talking is annoying in general.
Okay, like, I went to see Resident Evil, and everyone was talking. This movie was bad, but they were commenting on the movie in a delightful way. Is that annoying somehow, if it's entertaining you more than the movie?
No, I don't think so.
So, it does depend on the movie
you're watching. Yeah, I guess it all depends. It depends on the crowd, too, because if everybody is talking in regards to opinions and you know, everybody's involved in the same conversation, I don't think it's bothersome.
All right, like in Something Borrowed, the two old women talking.
I think they were just cute.
Or the.
Just remember, I'm gonna be really, really old one day, kiddo. And when I be watching your movies, that's my son. That's my son.
Yeah, and then they're gonna call the cops.
No, oh, they wouldn't. Because I'll be in a game.
The delusional old woman is saying that man is her son and all that stuff like that. So, you know what? The discussion is, do you find talking in the movie theater annoying? That's for you. You can put that on the website. Commentermovies.webs.com. We have our own website now, so you can leave it in the guest book about your opinion on the whole thing. One more question. I have another question. Hold on. Give me a second. I thought about it before. This is for you. Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm trying to think of the question. I thought of the question. Hold on.
What a duh.
Come on. Hold on.
Yes. I love you, son.
No, I'm trying to think of a question here. Okay, you know what? How about this? I'll just ask you this. Should your pets be allowed to be in the theater if they're quiet?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because I have a little schnickamuckins, and she's the most adorable little thing. And I would love to take her with me everywhere. But unfortunately, where there's food, there's no pets. So.
True. Mm-hmm. And
I respect that.
And where there's sane people, there's no pets.
What are you trying to say? I'm not sane?
No.
Then you was being sane as well, because you came for me. Oh, no, wait. I found you.
Oh, yeah.
And I leave you with that.
Okay.
Love you, son.
That is the end of that discussion. Everyone say goodbye to Miss Silva. Say bye, Miss Silva.
Bye, Miss Silva. Ha ha ha.
Isn't she a gem?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you very much for listening to episode 8 of Commenter Movies. We do have a website, as I said before. It's comingourmovies.webs.com. You can visit them. You can visit that website. And I have discussions up. I'll have the discussion that we did this week up on there, so you can talk about it, and we'll discuss it probably next week or probably the week after. You can actually send me mail through there. It'll get sent straight to my comingourmovies@gmail.com. I will have episodes up on that website as they come up on Podomatic and on iTunes. So you can actually visit that website and still get the podcast that you want. You can even download it on through there. So you have that option. I will also put written reviews up of movies, but I will not do it this week. I will start next week with Bridesmaids. And my name is Silva. Like I said before, you can also follow me on Twitter at the Long John Silva at Twitter. And you can also follow Cantor, who's at 5 Second Stare. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for coming on our movies, and I appreciate it. And to all the mothers or people who have mothers listening to this podcast, we wish you a happy Mother's Day. Thank you very much.